I want us to look at what God says to us today concerning going forth and pressing on even in hard times. You'll find here the story of Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19. The background of it, of course, is one of triumph. Oh, God sends Elijah, raises up Elijah, sends him to the king, and he says, I have a message from God for you. And God, through his servant, speaks. And God delivers the message that he wants to give. On Mount Carmel, there's a tremendous victory. And the devil's forces have been defeated. But you'll find that the devil doesn't give up easily. It doesn't take long for the devil to retaliate. And soon after Elijah arrives at Jezreel, he receives a warrant from Jezebel declaring his death within 24 hours. You see, the battle with the devil and the forces of hell was not over. It is true that there was a mighty victory in Carmel. It was true that there was a mighty victory for truth and for righteousness. But the war against evil and the war against Satan and the war against sin did not end at Carmel. And friends, for you and me, not until Jesus comes. And the Lord says, the rest will I set in order when I come. Not until Jesus come will the war cease to rage. And we must never lay down or cast aside the armor that God has provided until the battle's over. We need to realize that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities. The child of God is wrestling against powers, against the powers of the darkness of this world and the powers of the darkness of the world to come. You know, there's nothing surprising whenever God's people face dark situations. Sometimes, you know, whenever God's people are facing difficult trials and dark situations in life, they feel there's something wrong with me. It shouldn't be this way. The child of God should always be right there in the top of victory, and there should never be a day when the clouds gather upon the sky of life. But I want you to notice, friend, that that is not reality. There are days whenever trials do come, days of darkness, dark situations, dark times that come into the life of the child of God. I want us to think of three. The darkness of doubt. I wonder, friend, have you ever been there? I'm sure you have. The darkness of doubt. When doubt has gripped your soul, and you see that, or you feel that things are quite hopeless. Maybe it is the dark cloud of depression. Maybe it is the dark shadow of death. And I want us to think of those shadows that are upon the life, even of the child of God. And how the devil comes and uses these situations to put out the light and to put out the joy in the heart and the life of the child of God. Keep on believing, the hymn writer says. Jesus is near. Keep on believing, for there's nothing to fear. But I want us to think of the dark times, the dark situations that even confront the child of God, the man, the woman, the young person that's going forward in Jesus' name. They face the darkness of doubt. They face the darkness of depression. They face the darkness of death. And I want us to think of those this morning as God gives us help. And perhaps we'll continue it next Lord's Day as we continue. The darkness of doubt. As we gather in God's house today, have you ever faced the darkness of doubt? Has there ever been doubts that have been cast upon the across your mind? Doubts, perhaps you've even doubted the Almighty. In the midst of the darkness, the old devil has come and the old devil has tried to bring those vicious doubts into your mind. Maybe the devil said, you're not saved at all. You're not a child of God at all. You see, if you were saved, you'd never be faced with these situations. And now you've sat down and you've listened to the lie of the devil and the doubts that the devil have implanted in your mind, friend. And you can see there's nothing but darkness in your life. Is that where you are today? You see so much evil abounding on every hand. You see so much sin. You see so much immorality. You see so much deviousness. And friends, you sit in the midst of your situation. You sit there in doubt. First of all, perhaps you're doubting the promises, the precious promises of God. The Bible tells us that this book is filled with great and precious promises. In 2 Peter, in the chapter 1, and the verse 4, it says this, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." And so it says, "Whereby are given unto us," God has given to us, "great and precious promises." Exceeding great and exceeding precious promises. We sing the hymn, "I'm standing on the promises of God." And yet, friend, in reality, perhaps there are situations in your life that has come, and because of that situation, the joy of the Lord has gone out of your life, and you're sat there in despair because you've been doubting. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, it says, "I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting." God doesn't want you to doubt His promises. You see, when you come into God's presence, friend, you take hold of the promises of God. And that's how you pray. You pray on the promises of God. You plead the promises of God. And we find that God says, and He desires His people, that they would claim the promises that God has given them, that they would pray, that they would lift up their holy hands without doubting. Have you doubted the promises because God, it seems, has not fulfilled that promise in its fullness up until now? You've doubted and you say, well, that promise really doesn't mean anything at all. That promise really doesn't mean anything to me anymore. And you've let go of the promises. Jesus answering said unto them, Mark 11 verse 22, "Have faith in God." Have faith in God. In other words, don't doubt the promises of God. Friend, there are many people you can doubt, but don't doubt the promises of God. But here you are in God's house and you've been overcast with a shadow of doubt because you've been doubting the precious promises of God. Maybe there's something else you've been doubting. Maybe you've been doubting the plenteous provision of God. The plenteous provision of God. On Thursday night, we were looking in the prayer meeting. Every good and every perfect gift cometh down from above. And friend, God has been good to you. What does the psalmist say? Truly, God has been good to Israel. And surely every one of us this morning that are saved can look back on our lives and we can see the goodness of the Lord. How good God has been to us. God has blessed us. Over and over and over and over again. Friend, God hasn't blessed us according to what we deserve. God has blessed us superabundantly. Even though we don't deserve it. That's the grace of God, friend. For He gives us what we do not deserve. Every good and every perfect gift cometh down from above. Cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither is there a shadow of turning. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 27 it says, "If ye then be not able to do that which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, neither they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will He clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye doubtful of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Friend, think of what God has done. Think of the very ravens. Think of the birds of the air. Think of the lilies of the field. How that God attends and God clothes them. Will He not clothe you? And yet you have been doubting God's provision. The plenteous provision of God. What does Paul say in the book of Philippians 4:19? He says, "My God shall supply all your need." Here's a promise, friend. Here's a promise. My God shall supply all your need. Have faith in God today. Don't doubt the provision of God. Don't doubt the promises of God. Listen, maybe you're doubting the potent power of God. You're in a crisis. Your back's against the wall, friend. There's nowhere to turn. You've tried everything. Maybe you've, in the midst of that, you've sat down and you've doubted the ability of God to bring you through. I love the words of that hymn. He'll see you through. So He will, friend. He's promised to see His people through. Gracious promise of God, friend. Listen, the power of God. And He's promised, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Perhaps I don't know what the personal darkness is in your life this morning, the crisis that's in your life this morning, because that's something that's hidden away in your heart. But let me tell you, God already knows. He knows the situation. There's nothing hid from God, friend, but He sees everything. I was thinking of that night whenever the Lord Jesus told His disciples to go to the other side, and the Lord remained in prayer. The ship was in the midst of the sea and was tossed with waves. The wind was contrary. Is that you, friend? The wind's contrary this morning. The ship of your life's tossed in the waves. And in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 26 says, "And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. And straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered Him and said, "Lord, if it be Thou, bid me to come to Thee in the water." And He said, "Come." And when Peter was come out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" You doubting the power of God, friend, to bring you through? You see, the Lord said, Peter said to the Lord, "If it be Thou, bid me to come to Thee in the water." The Lord said, "Peter, come." Let me tell you, the Word of God was the power of God. The Lord didn't tell him to come for to sink. What happened, Peter, then? I'll tell you what happened. He took his eyes off the Lord. And friend, maybe the storm's great today, and maybe the trials that you're facing are many today. And you've taken your eyes off the Lord, and you've tried to do this alone. You've tried to work this situation alone. Why? Because in reality, you've doubted the potent power of God, that God somehow wasn't able to bring it to pass Himself. Leave it with the Lord today. Surrender that situation into God. Listen, as long as Peter had his eyes on the Lord, on the power of God, he walked and was fine. Because the Bible says he walked on the water to go to Jesus. In other words, he had his eyes on Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. You know why, friend? Because he stopped looking to the Lord and started to look to what the wind was doing. And he was afraid. Is that what you're doing? And your heart is filled with doubts this morning because you've got your eyes on the Lord. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you doubting the power of God to deliver you? Whatever the situation is, Do you remember the Hebrew boys? They were thrown into the furnace of fire. And the Bible tells us that those Hebrew boys said this, "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. But if not," in other words, if it's not His will, "be it known unto you, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image that thou hast set up." They didn't doubt the potent power of God, friend, to deliver. You see, what they said was, if it's not God's will, yet we'll trust Him. Let me ask you this, friend. Are you and I wanting our will, or are we really wanting God's will? You see, when we're wanting our will and we don't get it, we kick. When we're wanting God's will, and He gives it, whatever it be, then we rejoice. That's how you'll test it. And quite often we say, yes, we want God's will, but in reality we're saying, God, you be sure, you make it what I want. Are you doubting the power of God to deliver? Are you doubting the power of God to heal, friend? But you said to me, what if He doesn't? What if it's not His will to heal? It wasn't His will to heal Margaret. He took her home. But today she's in the presence of the Lord. Let me tell you, friend. Some people ask the person, are you getting better? Thank God everything's well for Margaret. She's well. She's perfectly healed. In the presence of her Savior, are you doubting? Is that what is casting a shadow over your life this morning? Doubting the precious promise of God? Doubting the plenteous provision of God? Doubting the potent power of God? Or are you doubting the pledged presence of God? Because remember, God is pledged. God's covenanted to be with His people. I love that verse in Hebrews chapter 13. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave thee. There's the pledged presence of God. I'll never leave thee. And I'll never forsake thee. Turn to Matthew chapter 28 quickly. Matthew chapter 28, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him. But some doubted. There it is again. Notice in all these situations, doubt. Doubt. Doubting the promises of God, provision of God, power of God, now the presence of God. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with
you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Notice the pledge, presence. Lo, I am with you always. Friends, maybe this morning you're going through the dark situations of life. And maybe there's a shadow right across your own personal life or your family situation. God knows what that situation. Your heart has been riddled with doubts and fears. Do you remember what Moses said to the Lord when God told him to go? And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And Moses said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. But God's promise is, I will be with thee. I will be. Have faith in God. As we close this morning, time's away. During the dark days of life, remember this promise, friend. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank God, there's nothing can separate us from our Savior. Have faith in God. Next Lord's Day morning, we look at a serious shadow that's crossed many a heart and many a mind. It is the dark shadow of depression. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. We thank Thee for Thy promises. Oh, how precious they are. We thank Thee, our God, for Thy presence. O Lord, we thank Thee that Thou hast pledged Thy presence with Your people. We thank Thee, our God and Heavenly Father, for Thy provision. How plenteous is Thy provision for Your people. And we thank Thee for Thy power. O God, how potent is Thy power. We thank Thee that we can say, God delivers again. Father, we thank Thee as Thou didst deliver Your children in days of old. Thou wilt this day deliver us even in this land. O God, send us a deliverance. Not that man may be seen, but that Christ might be honored. For we pray in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake.